Comedy Fix. I am Chris Alvarado, joined with my two co-hosts and my two great friends, Sam Miller and Jamie Parkinen. Today's topic, I love today's topic. It is vulnerability and where that has a place on the stage or in performance, or if it even has a place on the stage or in performance. When we were discussing who should do the intro, Jamie said, maybe I should do it because I'm such a proponent of vulnerability. And I'm just going to lay all my cards out. Obviously, I love our discussions, gentlemen, and I always walk away a little more informed and a little more confused. But I think vulnerability, I think that's all there is. I think it's all vulnerability for me to do and for me to watch. I teach a lot, and I talk about that a lot. And I have my own Zoom workshops to do twice a week. And the one thing I've been saying lately is like, I want to care. Make me give a fuck. And I find that that rarely comes without being vulnerable. That's when there's this extra little pull inside of me. Rather than watching a scene that's like funny and clever or smart, creative, the vulnerability makes me care. And I think as I get older and I start to refine who it is I am as an artist and what it is I want to do and or see, I think it's all about caring. And to me, vulnerability is the key to the care. Gentlemen, I've been talking for a long time already.
So maybe we can establish a definition or what you mean when you say vulnerability. What does that specifically mean? What is vulnerability to you?
Yeah, I actually looked up the definition this morning, but then I kind of forgot it because definitions are hard for me to hold on to. Vulnerability to me, well, if I'm being honest, part of my research this morning led me to, of course, the queen of vulnerability, Brené Brown, who has done a famous TED Talk on vulnerability and has written books and speaks all over the country and the world about vulnerability. And she says that it's synonymous with courage. And I agree with that because, and I'll try to keep this succinct because I want to hear your definitions. I'm somebody who's an oversharer. I talk about my rocky childhood, my problems with drinking and drugs. And people often associate that with me being vulnerable, but it's not vulnerable for me to do that. It's very easy for me to do that. So it takes no courage. Therefore, to me, it is not a vulnerable situation, even though to others, they may not want to share that information. So that's difficult for them. It's easy for me. And I thought about an example for me. You know what would be vulnerable for me is to walk out of my house in a Speedo with a propeller little hat and a tank top and skip down the street. That would be vulnerable for me because that is scary for me. And to me, that would take courage.
So vulnerability, it takes courage to be vulnerable, but what is vulnerable? It's doing something that emotionally is difficult for you, or
I think emotionally, physically, but yes, it has to be difficult. It has to be something that you don't necessarily want to do.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sam, throw a thought out there.
Yeah.
Well, vulnerable comes from two Latin words, vulnus, meaning wound, and able, which, you know, is as a suffix, sort of the ability to. And I think the ability to be wounded is such an interesting idea behind vulnerability, because I think, if I may a little bit for Chris interpret, I think for Chris, some of the stuff he's talking about that's easy for him to talk about fits into a little bit of his cool guy image, right? Sort of bad boy. And so for him to sort of talk about those things, he can't necessarily be wounded by them. But this cool guy image can definitely get wounded the second he steps out in a Speedo and a propeller hat and skips down the street, because he won't be cool anymore. And so I think really, if we think about how being vulnerable is the dog throwing their neck up, right? And that's the courageous moment. We say, I'm not going to defend myself. I'm going to allow myself to be attacked in this moment. And I don't know that we always need to have it. I'm kind of curious where Jamie lies on this side, because I think there's sometimes where I'm thinking of like Chris Farley being invulnerable sometimes is really a lot of fun. But I do think of other times with like Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin, where being vulnerable to get hurt is the key to slapstick in so many ways. Mm. So I'm curious, Jamie, do you feel that vulnerability is a tool, or do you feel like Chris that it's something that should always be present, or should it never be present? Where do you land?
Yeah, I think vulnerability is a shade of performance. Maybe a tool is a good word for it. It can create an experience for the audience, but it's not the end all be all. It's not, if your scene lacks vulnerability, if your character lacks vulnerability, then it's nothing and you need to change. It's like, there's a place for vulnerability and for showing the character's weakness or the performer's weakness. That is interesting to an audience because it kind of goes against what we see out in the world where everyone's posturing and trying to be tough and cool and all these things. So to see the opposite of that is interesting. So I think that there's a place for vulnerability in stage and theater, but I don't think it's the end all be all the way that so many of my classes, coaches, teachers, directors that I've worked with, when I'm a performer, they say it like it's gospel. They say that that's what you need. This is the thing. And I'm like, I don't think so. A few times I've tried to do or share things that are emotionally difficult or personal or whatever, and I feel just nothing from the audience. I feel like either maybe they didn't want to hear that from me. Maybe my persona is not somebody who can win an audience with vulnerability. Maybe it comes off as fake. I don't know what the audience was saying, but I could just tell it was a cold room after I'd done this really hard emotional thing. So I'm like, well, vulnerability can't be the end all be all because I was just extremely vulnerable and I got nothing from it. And it was very genuine. So it's not like it was a put on. It was genuinely difficult. And so for me, I'm like, there must be something more than vulnerability. Vulnerability is just an aspect of it. But I find that audiences enjoy my performances more when I'm smart and strong and tricking other people. And I'm in a position of power in the situation, which is the opposite of vulnerable, I think. Hmm. And so I find that audiences enjoy that from me. Maybe that's something that I can pull off better in a scene than I can, you know, crying about my childhood or whatever the thing might be. So I don't know. I think it goes based on what the audience, Jamie, perceives of you.
I feel like, I agree. And I think vulnerability is the end all be all for me, for what I want to see. I've watched shows constantly or even live performances where there's no vulnerability present. And I go, that's cool. Oh, it's fun. So I still can enjoy myself. I like that other level, that deeper level. And I want to say one more thing is I feel like we always associate vulnerability with crying about our childhood or something like that. That's always like, I don't want to be vulnerable that way. But like I said before, I think like Sam mentioned too, the vulnerability of attempting a physical feat is also important to me. I guess I want to say that out loud for the record that I don't think vulnerability, because as I said at the beginning, I share my traumatic childhood all the time and it's not vulnerable at all.
It's so interesting that you make that point, Chris. We have a friend who teaches some writing classes, like college level screenwriting classes. And she says that often her classes are filled with men, generally white men. And one of the first things she has to do is sort of talk to them about being vulnerable, because I think especially white men are kind of taught never to be vulnerable. And it's probably a very general male thing. And it's very hard for us to sort of push through the fake idea of what being vulnerable is and put us into a situation where we're actually vulnerable or we're actually talking about things that are sensitive to us or touchy for us. Jamie, I think I've seen you be vulnerable mostly with physical positions, but it's kind of interesting to hear you talk about tricking someone, because to me, that's the other side of vulnerability. Right? You have to have something that can hurt someone. And that's what you do. You hurt the audience because they're vulnerable, because they've put themselves in a situation where you're on stage in front of them. Sometimes I think you trick me because I make myself vulnerable because I'm maybe gullible and believe that we're going to do something and then you pull out the rug from underneath me. So it's interesting to maybe think about how we also need an invulnerable character who's not emotionally tied into the character who is vulnerable, because that probably wouldn't be very satisfying if we just had a bunch of vulnerable people who were empathizing with each other on stage. We, for comedy, probably we need one person who can be a little mean and maybe take advantage of people who are putting themselves out there.
I think that's that makes a lot of sense to me. I think having that balance of power maybe might be a balance of power in the room, because yeah, if I am in a position of power, or if I'm in like a trickster mode and the audience is then, you know, the victims or the prey, then they're the vulnerable ones. They're subject to humiliation or to weakness where I'm in position of power. But maybe if we take the audience out and it's you and I, Sam, and I'm tricking you, then you're the vulnerable one. That kind of makes a little bit of sense to me. So maybe there is a place of vulnerability, but it's not the ultimate note for every performer to show vulnerability, because
I think you're right. It isn't the ultimate note for every performer. And what I've been asking my students lately is what are you doing? Why are we here today? Why are you doing this? Because I'll often see people doing their impressions of what they think to do, and it's boring and dumb. What are you trying to get from this? And I think after asking myself that, because I've failed so much my whole fucking career, I landed on that caring thing, right? But you're right, though, Jamie. There are a lot of performers that I dig that aren't, I would classify as particularly vulnerable. I think it's right. It's personal preference. What do I want to say and do tonight or today?
Right. Well, then why is every teacher giving that same fucking note to every performer? Well, is it just because they don't know? They're not thinking?
Yes. You know
they
what?
They just got told that, so then they spit it back out. Jamie, I mean, this is what's wrong with training centers.
Jamie, I agree. As a matter of fact, the other word that they throw around a lot is grounded. I always want to say grounded, grounded. Oh, really? Everybody talks about grounded scene work all the time. All the time. Oh, don't try to be funny. Be grounded. Don't try to be funny. Be grounded. Bitch, every time people have come through a full training center and come to my class, which is the last class at any particular training center I've been at, nobody can do a grounded two-person scene. And yet, they're saying that word all the time. So I'm with you, Jamie. I think that vulnerable is being thrown around. But I will say this, in my most recent workshops, because it's through Zoom, so there's not a lot of physicality, it's usually just kind of two people talking. Some of the most incredible scenes, which happen every class now, happen when the person went to a place that was a little scary for them. And it's rarely funny. But I always talk to them after the scene. How'd that feel? Let's go through this. And people always say, oh, well, I started to pull up things from my real life into the scene, and that was scary. But I also felt like that's what it made the most impact. And I never want to be that teacher, guys. I don't want to, because I had like a college teacher who was like, everybody cry all day long. Now you're actors, right? That's never my intention. But there is a feeling I get from a scene when somebody is pulling something from their real life. So if they're dealing with a divorce or a dying parent or something, again, it's not very funny, but it's all improvised. There's a pop. There's a to that moment, which we don't need in every scene, in every show, for every performer. I agree.
But I mean, I think that's such a great point. And I've been thinking a lot about stand-up comedy here. And I think some of the great stand-ups do that sort of a thing where they do take the material from their life and they are vulnerable about what's going on. And I don't think you have to use it all the time. I would say for most students, certainly myself as a student, I could have been more vulnerable more often. I do think some of the harder people to play with are some of the people who are never vulnerable. And I lost my train of thought, but that's okay. I'm vulnerable here, guys. I'm telling you that I'm not.
But what about clown, guys? The reason why I have not been into clown, I haven't stepped foot into it, because I'm not ready to be vulnerable in that position, which is, again, Sam, back to kind of your version of me or my version of me, which is the kind of cool guy or having it all together. As soon as I appear like I don't know what I'm doing, be it in the real world at Ralph's when I'm looking at an avocado or on stage, I'm very scared. And that is very vulnerable to me.
One of my favorite things I've ever heard came from an idiot workshop, which is One of, you know, so many great ones.
Yeah.
That I can't think of off the top of my head, but like outside of the great stuff I've learned from Chris, the Idiot Workshop, which is very clown oriented, is run by this guy, John Gilkey. And I was lucky enough to take like their intro class while he was still teaching. And he said, part of the clown is like, we sacrifice ourselves for the audience. Like we're up on that stage sacrificing ourselves. And that actually made me really emotional hearing it and resonated with me. Because I would say that my tone of comedy is the opposite of cool. I'm the person that the cool guys make fun of, and we all get to kind of laugh at me, right? I'm the person who will just fall off the chair after a wedding at a bar because the pants are slippery and it's a leather thing, and it happens twice, so I get kicked out. I mean, like, the amount of things that people have to make fun of me is endless, just endless. And there's a part of me that feels bad because, you know, no one wants to get made fun of all the time. But then there's also a part of me that's like, I am sacrificing myself for this joke, and we can all kind of enjoy it if I'm vulnerable enough to allow myself to be wounded every time someone wants to punch down on me. So yeah, I think the clowning stuff is very much about vulnerability, and they will talk about it from day one. I mean, like that is all the sort of clown. But to Jamie's point, because I can see him brushing this off, that is also the sort of like clown fool side. It's not necessarily the trickster side. And I do think that this is a coin that has two faces.
Yeah. Cause I was just thinking again, anecdotally, I've been confronted with the, you know, be vulnerable, sacrifice yourself note, specifically in an idiot, like sketch class kind of thing, where we had to write, a sketch. They call it a bit. And the bit that I had kind of, it put the audience like on their heels. Like they were the ones vulnerable. They were the ones that's, I made them stick their necks out. And I was just receiving their vulnerability. And the note I got after each time I would do it, because we would rehearse and rehearse and try to work on it, is, they would tell me, I need to do it. Don't do that. We even had Chad on a few episodes back, and even he said something, because the same anecdote popped in my brain about this bit that I wrote, where he's like, we don't want to throw a grenade into the audience. I am throwing grenades into the audience left and right. There's stink bombs under everybody's chair. You know, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to experience. Because I do think for some reason, clown has this idea that the audience is, we need to, you know, sacrifice ourselves for the audience, but then you limit an entire world of performance where instead we sacrifice the audience for the audience, right? I think that's really interesting, because then you turn something from a show into an experience, because now the audience is feeling it, because the audience is in that position. You just made it real for them in a way that's like, there's, you're kind of transgressing the fourth wall in a very palpable way. And if it's always the performer, then the audience is always a little detached. They're always a little removed. And I just think we're missing out on a whole layer of performance. And so it drives me crazy when I get that note, because I'm like, no, I'm trying to do something specifically here. I'm not just afraid to be vulnerable. I actually want to create a different kind of experience for the audience. So that's my diatribe against vulnerability, is that it with such an emphasis on it in the performance world, is we miss out on the other sides of vulnerability, or when we turn vulnerability on the audience, or I don't know.
I think there's a dimension that is missed when vulnerability is lacking from a performance. For me, it feels a little two dimensional.
From the performer, or just in general?
Huh, I don't understand the question.
Meaning, like I was just talking about, there is vulnerability, but it's not coming from me. It's coming from the audience. The audience is vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how to answer. I guess I just mean, if a performance is lacking vulnerability and I am not charged with being vulnerable or asked to be vulnerable or tasked to be vulnerable, then it's fine. I mean, it's fine. Like I said, like that's fun to watch. I don't think sports are necessarily vulnerable. I think it's fun to watch somebody throw a touchdown. Like, oh, that's an impressive feat. To me, it's that extra little, like I said, this dimension that even if it's just the performer being vulnerable, I connect with that on this other level. And I wish I knew more words than just levels and dimensions, but I can feel it. It feels different to me. It just feels different. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, actually, Chris, now that I'm thinking about it, Sam and I have put you in positions where you're directing us and we're doing a scene or a piece where we have directed and we have turned the spotlight on you, and like we have made you feel vulnerable. And you have always said that you hate it, but you love it, and it makes you feel uncomfortable and you feel seen and things like that. Like, that's the kind of, that's you being vulnerable. Sam and I aren't vulnerable in that moment. We're looking at you like, what? You know, so
you're absolutely right, though. I simultaneously hate it and love it. I only hate it because I'm so uncomfortable. Those are the rehearsals that I love so much, too. You know, but then again, I don't know if I love it more than our other rehearsals where we were playing with the trickster ideas. But you're right. You're right, Jamie. But then isn't that, in fact, still saying that it can be beneficial for there to be room for vulnerability in a performance? So tonight in this room, whether the audience is being tasked to be vulnerable or the performer is, right? There is something nice to that.
Yeah, I think it goes back to what Sam was saying. I think he framed that nicely as, you know, it might not be the performers, or it might be one performer in power and one performer being vulnerable, or the audience is vulnerable and the performers are powered. I think that power shift in general is interesting. And I will say, because I know Sam has something to say, I will say that when I am in a position of power in a scene or a piece and something happens and I genuinely lose control of what I just set up, like that fall, I think that's when I'm vulnerable. And then it's a real moment of vulnerability, and it's like how the mighty have fallen. And I think that's really palpable for an audience too, because a lot of the clown shows, they come out drooling and slapping their butts and stuff like that. It's like they couldn't even fall. They couldn't even fall because they were already on the ground. Right. So it's almost better to be in a position of power than to lose it. And watching that loss, I think, is interesting for an audience. Sorry. Go ahead, Sam.
I mean, all of this stuff is really interesting to think about. And I don't know why I'm in sort of in like a stand up headspace today, but to think of like an insult comic, right, who is just insulting the audience, and that's their whole shtick. You know, I think Jamie's definitely sort of in the spirit of that in some ways. I'm curious if there's maybe always someone vulnerable. And, you know, sort of tying that to some of our other conversations about like what's appropriate and what's not appropriate, and for a joke to really work, at some point in time, something has to be vulnerable, whether we're laughing at like the human condition, or what's interesting about our performance when we go meta and sort of step outside the improv show, it's like the improv show itself is vulnerable to kind of being deflated and failing. So it's really interesting to kind of think about, okay, well, how much do I personally need to be vulnerable? How much does vulnerability just sort of belong to the performance that we're doing? Because I do think the second you step up on stage, you are putting yourself in a vulnerable position generally. I don't know. It's just really interesting,
Sam,
to think about.
I think you're right on, and something I never considered. I think live performance in particular, vulnerability is inherent. There's the possibility something might go wrong. Even a rehearsed play or a rehearsed musical, there is something vulnerable. When this person is singing this moment, will their voice crack? Will they forget lines? You know, that to me is, I think you're right. There is something very, because when I watch a movie, I rarely walk away saying, oh, Meryl Streep was vulnerable in that role. It doesn't feel like that to me. Although, and I'm not saying that person or any actors aren't, but there is a vulnerability, I think, just built into the live performance.
That's what? Interesting.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, the other thing is, I hate when I can smell false vulnerability. That to me is like, don't even fucking try, homie. Just don't do it. That happens sometimes in my classes. It happens in plays and shows. And listen, that's why it's difficult to do a show 8 days a week, whatever, right? Like to bring that moment of real vulnerability to these moments night after night after night. That's difficult to do. And sometimes you can smell it. And so, you know, I'll watch a performance and I'll go, great. That, like, I can feel that moment. And sometimes I can go, oh, I see. I see what they're doing. And then it makes me think, can somebody be a good enough actor, a great enough actor, that they can fake those moments without me reading it, without me not being, you know what I mean? Like, oh, they tricked me into feeling that they were being vulnerable, even though they weren't. But you know those moments. You know those moments. I'm going to go off on one more thing. In one of my classes at the Westside Comedy Theater, I was telling my class, go ahead and be a little more real, a little more dark if need be. And this woman was doing these wild monologues, very personal, about just her life. But it didn't feel vulnerable. She was happy to share this information. Some of it was shocking. Some of it was sad. But she was very willing to do it. And that didn't feel vulnerable, kind of like what I'm saying about myself. So that's an interesting moment, too, where I go, oh, I see what you're doing. You think personal information equals vulnerability. And that isn't always the case.
Hmm. Yeah. What is it about vulnerability then that is so interesting to you? What do you like about it? How does that enhance a performance for you? Because sometimes when I'm listening to you two talk, I think that doesn't necessarily sound vulnerable. That sounds authentic. And I think those are different, right? We want authentic performers and performances, but you can be authentically powerful, right? So authenticity is a different mechanism and tool altogether. So what is it about specifically vulnerability that you're looking for? Or is it authenticity? Because authenticity, I agree. I want to see authenticity all day.
I wonder if it's the opposite of authentic power. If it's authentic powerlessness or authentic weakness. Again, like I'll always kind of go back to this idea of like the ability to be wounded, because that's just... that's what it is to me. And I agree that I do think like authenticity is a big part of it. I think there are moments where people manufacture the weakness, or they sort of take something that they think people will see as a weakness and they use it as a weapon. That's something I think I see a lot when it's sort of like manufactured. But yeah, I think to go back to like Chris, the cool guy, I think it can authentically be cool on stage and in power. I think at the same time, I can be authentically weak on stage. And like one of my favorite vulnerable moments was when we had a bunch of our significant others in the audience. And I said, blondes were my type. And you pointed out that my girlfriend's not blonde. And that's, that is a moment of authentic weakness, right?
God, that was good.
That was good.
That was the Christmas show 2019. Merry Christmas, everybody.
I'm telling you, my girlfriend still talks about that moment. Jamie, I love that. I think you're right. I think I love authenticity as well. And I do think there's a difference. I don't know that I love one more than the other. I guess I want all performances to be authentic, and I don't need all performances to be vulnerable. I'm glad that you brought that word up, because I probably blur the lines between those two sometimes. I think that's a really good point. You know, please.
I think it's so fun. I think you need a shade of it. Right. It's like when Will Ferrell is in Elf and the entire time he is just like very authentically weak. Right. I think that's a very vulnerable character. He's affected by the world around him. Like he can kind of get hurt by the idea of being rejected by his dad. Like, I don't know. As opposed to like Will Ferrell in Old School, where for a while he's Frank the Tank and he's invulnerable. But then you kind of get that moment where like maybe his life isn't everything he wanted it to be. And like you get that little bit of vulnerability, and then we're like back to the races and he's Will Ferrell. So I would
let me ask you this, Sam, in the idea of with Will Ferrell and Elf. I know what you mean. I just saw Elf for the first time this past holiday season. Great movie. I know what you mean that Will Ferrell's character is vulnerable. Do you think Will Ferrell performing that, doing that performance is vulnerable? Or do you think he's like, it's just a set of skills we're watching him do?
It's a good question. What's tricky about it is I could also go the other way and I could say like, he's playing such a character. And I have this problem. I think a lot of improvisers have this problem. When you play a big character, you might not be affected by things around you. And so you're kind of invulnerable in some ways. So there's maybe that aspect to it as well. I think we were watching like a behind the scenes or pop up something. And they sort of mentioned that the director, Jon Favreau, went to James Caan at one point and like whispered in his ear or something. And then like the next take, he was much angrier with Will Ferrell. And so the idea that maybe one actor has a piece of knowledge that the other actor doesn't have on set how that makes the other actor vulnerable in some ways, or I don't know. I think that's a really good question, and I don't know that I have a good answer for it.
You know, when I was looking at the definition of vulnerable, there's the one where it's dealing with like people and vulnerability, but then there's the other one where it exposes vulnerability as a weakness in something, a particular material that can't withstand certain pressure or something. That's a weird explanation, but it breaks. It's vulnerable in this one area. And that to me is interesting too, the idea of it being a weakness, because again, the Brené Brown, she said, I think the biggest misconception is that people view vulnerability as a weakness. You know, is that in fact, when you look up every courageous feat in history, scaling mountains or breaking records, that there is a vulnerability in there together, that they are, that they live together. So it's weird that in some ways we would say, oh, that's a vulnerable piece of material. It breaks, where in the person, the breaking is oftentimes viewed as the strength. I just think that's an interesting way to look at that.
I think, well, not to disagree with the expert, but it's quite true. I think vulnerability is weakness. It's a failing. It is. But expressing it to a third person, to somebody, you know, to strangers, to somebody else, is the strength. So it is a weakness. It is. That's just what it is by definition almost. But expressing it is the strength, because it's hard to do. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, maybe she'll be on this podcast next week. I'm not sure. If she wants to correct her TED talk, this would be the venue to do so. It's never too late to admit you made a mistake, right? Because vulnerability is good, huh? My comment about Elf is that because he's vulnerable the whole time, it's like if you're just doing joke after joke after joke, they don't hit as hard. Even if they're funny, they just don't hit as hard because you haven't built up the tension. You haven't built up the counter of vulnerability. And so, and I don't know, Old Days or whatever that movie is that you quoted, Sam, but it sounded like he's tough the whole time. And then when he finally is vulnerable or whatever, what is it, Sam? Sam's laughing on this.
Old School.
It's I always forget. And for listeners, I don't know that this has come up before, but like Jamie's pop culture literacy is very low. It's very low. And it's a lovable thing about him. He's not very vulnerable about it, though, I will say. He'll just barrel on through because he doesn't care. But yeah, it's old school.
It's not even, it's not even avoiding vulnerability. It's just a complete indifference to the media that's out there. But I actually, one of the reasons I don't like watching movies and TV shows is I can't believe anything that I'm seeing. It's very hard for me to buy into a movie and to suspend disbelief because it's so inauthentic. And it's so, Meryl Streep, the best actress in the world, people have told me. I don't see it. It's like, it's okay. She's good. But like, I just don't believe, I can tell it's an acting, it's an actress.
Have you ever seen Kramer versus Kramer?
I think I have. I've seen that. Bridges over Madison County. That's another one. I mean, it's a nice movie. It's a nice story, but it's hard to suspend disbelief when it's so.
Devil Wears Prada.
I've seen that one.
Yeah.
He's trying to find out my media literacy.
That's right. That's right. Live on the podcast. Actually, I'm in a movie club, and just last week we watched The River Wild. She's in that one with Kevin Bacon.
I haven't seen that movie in a while. Does it hold up?
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I really liked it. And you know, one of the things that the guys who know a lot more about cinema than I do is they say everything you're seeing is very real. There's no CGI. They're going over rapids. They are, you know what I mean? That stuff is great.
It's really cool.
Do you know what I find that vulnerability to oftentimes be very endearing and charming. And I think about when I do corporate workshops, improv workshops, and you get, you know, the CEO of this media company or this tech firm in Santa Monica, and you had them do something super simple, a simple improv warm-up game, zip, zap, zap, people might be familiar with, or Red Ball, thank you, Red Ball, to watch them step out of their comfort zone, which opens their stepping into vulnerability. It's really endearing. And when they're done with it, they seem to feel, they feel empowered, I think. I think there's a strength to it afterwards as well in those simple little things, not just doing, you know, performing Othello or something or coming out as a clown, but just the corporate guy quacking like a duck in a corporate workshop it's vulnerable as hell for him, and it's really endearing to us. I love those moments.
Maybe it's the status shift of vulnerability. Perhaps. That's interesting to us. I don't, that might just kick the can down the road, because why is status shift interesting? I don't know. So no, I don't,
I mean, I think again, to just take it back to being wounded, if you have something, it can be taken away from you. Right. And this is, you know, so many of our festive traditions come from this idea that we're like flipping the structure of society, right? The Lord will be the lesser person, and the lesser will be elevated to the Lord for the day, kind of a thing. And I think there really is something to being a, you know, the sales guy who everyone has to look up to as the boss, sort of walking around like a duck, like an idiot. Like, you're giving up status in some ways. Like, you are, it is interesting to like what you can have to give up. Right. And I think that's maybe another way to look at vulnerable. What can be taken away from you? How can you be hurt? Right. For some people, it's about image. For other people, maybe it is about something else.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking through this thought now, so it might not make sense, but is there something to the idea that it almost reaffirms your status? If you're the CEO who then quacks like a duck, but you're still in charge, like, you can make yourself an idiot and you're still above all these people. Like, is that just reaffirming status in a sense?
Well, yeah, especially because now everyone has to quack like a duck and laugh. Ha ha, good one, boss. You were a really good duck. Hey, you remember that improv class last week? Oh, man. Oh, that was a lot of fun. We should do that again.
Yeah, in a sense, it's almost like, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything to that, but maybe like the restoration of status. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking.
Yeah. You know, I think for the most part, long, I guess, and short form, but we do a lot of long form improvisation. I think long form improvisation is a pretty vulnerable endeavor. I think about you, Jamie, both of you. I think when I'm thinking about Folly, I wouldn't say like, oh, Jamie's a vulnerable player in that he cries all the time on stage and like opens up his heart or whatever, just lets out his demons or something. I don't mean that, but like Jamie was saying, I mean, sometimes you assume very high status positions and you set up something that you don't know if you can do, be it an actual physical feat, some kind of game or trick that you're playing on Sam, that you're making this up on the spot in front of us and you don't know if it's going to work. And when it does, holy shit, is it incredible. But I think just the effort you're in that, Jamie, is a vulnerable pursuit. If I knew you could pull one over on Sam every time, or I knew you could get a laugh every time, that to me is not vulnerable. Just the pursuit of you even trying is really magnificent to watch. And I consider that to be vulnerability.
Yeah, I mean, it is very much like the selling point of long form improv, right? Is like, we're going to do 30 minutes of stuff that we are making up. And people like it because either they can do it or they can't. But everyone kind of knows that's part of the attempt there. That is very different from like sketch or short form or... I will say, though, like dramatic long form improv, I think in general is more vulnerable, but I don't necessarily like it more.
I like it more.
To me, it's the put on, though. It's the put on. It's like, oh, I'm going to be this actress and my husband just left me, you know, and it's like they're putting on this vulnerability.
Well, there is that person. There's that person. But right. There's the guy. There's the dad in my workshop who's a cop his whole life or something, who is now doing a scene with a young woman in class, and he has to tell her that he's in love with her for the first time. Those can be beautiful moments. But you're right. You're right, Jamie. I know that also exists. Those, the put on. And that's that falseness that just smells. That's why I love those little moments. Like, oh shit, dude, that's a big deal for you to do. I could do that all day long. That was a big deal for you, man. And that to me is vulnerable. And that to me is courageous. I think that takes courage to do that, man.
I was reading something, and I don't know if I'm going to get the exact premise right, but it's in the same thought as the status shift, where, you know, if Elf is vulnerable the whole time, then him being vulnerable again doesn't register. He's always vulnerable. And I was reading something talking about like minorities, racial minorities, how in society they're often vulnerable to racism, to inequality, whatever it is, all these things that they live with this. And so to ask them to come to a clown class and be vulnerable, it might not be as interesting. Maybe we want to see those people assert power. Maybe that's interesting for them. So I don't know that it's vulnerability. I think it might, or maybe vulnerability, you know, is implied in it. But I think it's the status shift of watching people, you know, who we know usually have power in society because they're the cool guy. Watch that person be vulnerable. The status shift lowers them. But maybe somebody who is vulnerable in society because of all these, you know, inequities, when they go on stage and assert their power, that's also very interesting because it's a status shift for them.
I think that's also vulnerability.
Vulnerability plays a part. Vulnerability is a setup. They come from vulnerable and they assert power versus.
I'm saying the assertion of power is in itself a vulnerable state for them because they are uncomfortable in that because they don't typically have that power to assume that competence, to assume that that power, I think, is you don't just turn it on. You just go, okay, now I just play powerful. No, I play with people who can't even speak up in class sometimes. So I think that itself, even donning the high status position, is vulnerable.
Maybe the attempt at a status shift.
Yes.
Maybe the process of status shift is itself the vulnerability.
That's right. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. And it's interesting to think that even in our, and I think we've come up with this example before, but like I'm a big person. Jamie's a little person who I could break like a twig. Like, we don't want to see him.
I'm putty in his hands.
Hold on really quick. Sam isn't 7'6" and Jamie isn't 2'4". It's not a little person, big person. You are bigger than Jamie, Sam, but that's,
yes,
I wouldn't.
I could easily hurt Jamie without even trying. Right. And so we don't want to see that on stage. We don't want to see Jamie in a vulnerable position to me. But boy, do we love when I'm in a vulnerable position to Jamie. And
that's a good point.
You know, I think maybe if our goal wasn't comedy, that, you know, we can make a powerful statement by having, you know, certain people vulnerable to others. But it is really interesting to sort of think about the dynamics of who's vulnerable in the world. I think one of the reasons why we tell people they need to be more vulnerable is because we're not allowed to be vulnerable out in the world much. And so it's kind of refreshing to see it from a lot of people on stage. But that's really interesting to think about how being powerful is vulnerable.
That's a really great point. I never really considered the negative associations with vulnerability. How, like, it would not be fun to see somebody who is vulnerable be pummeled or something like that. Or for a movie club, I had to watch this movie, 1982 movie called Diner, with Kevin Bacon. And all the men treat the women like shit in this movie. And the women are vulnerable in these positions. And I don't enjoy that. But that's a really interesting point that Jamie would be vulnerable to you in that situation. Cause we've made it very clear. You would obliterate him. I don't want to see that vulnerability.
Yeah. You guys just said the premise of what I was trying to say with the racial inequities.
Yes.
Is the same way. We don't want to see somebody who is out in the world who's vulnerable now come and be vulnerable again. We want to see that person assert power. So I'm going to go ahead and say that it's not vulnerability. All right. You know, all the training centers, it's not vulnerability. It's status shift. It's the taking and giving of power is what's interesting to an audience. It's not vulnerability. Vulnerability is one shade of that, but it's not the whole thing.
So maybe when people say, like, we need you to be vulnerable, it's really your argument, which I actually could really see the merit is, maybe it's more like one of you needs to be a little bit less statusful.
One of you needs to be the opposite of what your status typically is. Like for me, playing down or dumb.
Right. Because the audience doesn't know how much status I have in real life. They don't really know. They just see me and then they ascribe a status to me. And in comparison to Sam, who of course can crush me like a bug, I look like the lower status. So when I'm there bossing Sam around, asserting, you know, tricking him into things, that's very fun for the audience because they've ascribed our statuses to us just based on physicality alone. Because of course I'm intellectually and financially superior to Sam, but nobody knows that.
Yeah. I mean, no one cares when they see how physically superior I am to you. I think that's a fair point. Now, Chris, I am curious because I think you have a lot of teaching and directing experience. And so let's say you had two scenes in front of you. One scene was two people who were just yelling at each other the whole time about one person didn't buy the milk and the other person didn't buy the cereal. And they're just yelling at each other. And you're like, okay, scene, you know what? You guys need to be more vulnerable. You know, your roommates, you should have been affected by that. Like, you should have maybe realized what a mess up you are. You should be more vulnerable. And then you have another scene, and it's two people who, you know, are kind of being nice. And yeah, I mean, I have a lot of problems, and talking about problems and maybe putting some of their real life in there. And maybe it's verging on the edge of, I don't want to say like verging on the edge of therapy, but maybe it's more they're playing some of this fake vulnerability stuff. Like, what's the opposite note of being more vulnerable? Or even what's the opposite scene where you're like, okay, you guys don't need to be more vulnerable. You were too vulnerable, or I felt like this was two people who were vulnerable, and I needed to see someone. Oh, you should have, the second they said, like, I would do anything for pizza, you should have taken advantage of that. You need to be more powerful. Is that sort of the other note?
That is it, Sam. I'll stop somebody in a scene. I'll go, you have to pummel this person. And they laugh. I go, no. Break their fucking heart in front of us right now. And to the person who's about to be shattered, I say, that person, and depending on who it is, that person, they know what they're doing. They can play this as well. That moment to me is really important. And Sam, you did, I'm so glad you kind of answered it for me, but it's going, okay, that person's vulnerable. Let's fucking turn them into dust. Again, break their fucking heart or break their arm, right? Mm-hmm. But smash that person. Smash that person. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess it would just be the more power. But then my question always is why? Why? Why is this character being so vulnerable? Why is this character being so open? Why is this character using this moment at a checkout stand as therapy? And then what, you know, and then the other person, why would they reciprocate this conversation? Why would they be okay? You know, why get to the root of what it is this character wants, which oftentimes a lot of people cannot do. They cannot separate what it is they want versus what it is their character wants. And that's a weird place. I'm going kind of off topic here, but
I'm curious, isn't that vulnerable in some ways? You know, we talk so much about like bringing your real life into your character. So how could that be vulnerable, and where does it go wrong when people do that?
Well, it's not vulnerable if I start using the specifics of my life, because we've already made it clear that I'm okay with sharing it. To me, it's vulnerable to begin to step into a life that is not your own, aka a character's life, and develop a why right there on the spot that is different from your own. So it is vulnerable to then sit there and smash this person and tell them how much you do not love them and how they are actually not able to be loved, even though you yourself as a human being wouldn't do that in real life. It's a vulnerable moment for me to embody a character who would do that.
I'm going to go ahead and reassert my conclusion that is a power shift. Because if it's somebody who has to step outside themselves and assume the role of a character, they're assuming possibly a different status, a different level of power, and then exacting that level of power on the other character. Where in fact, in real life, maybe they would never want to hurt anybody's feelings or whatever. So I don't know. I'm just going to go ahead and say that I think about power.
But Jimmy, but you said this. So you said it once before. You said like claiming your position. But the first time you came up with this position, we kind of agreed or found a point that it's the getting to that moment, which is where the vulnerability lies. So I think they're both kind of true. Yes, so that is status shift. That's what we're going for. But it's that leap to going from something that you're not comfortable doing to doing it. You know what I'm saying? Because you said it better than I did when I'm trying to explain it back to you. It is vulnerable for somebody who is not typically a higher status person in life to step into that position on stage. So I think that transition, that moment right there in between, is where the vulnerability lies.
Right. When they're going from actor to character.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. And I think that's one of the interesting mechanisms is one thing I've been trying to wrap my brain around is and this is a little off topic, but I just thought of it, is the mechanism of the live direct, you know, versus you just go to see a straight cold improv show. You don't know these people. It's just a show. They have one chance and it's done. Versus it's really fun to watch the progression of a scene that's being directed in a class setting and watch those notes get incorporated and watch that person build. And that's a show in and of itself. I actually enjoy watching rehearsals way more than I watch than watching actual shows, because you can kind of see the authenticity behind the failings of the show and the people themselves being frustrated that they can't get this and the director getting mad and then watching that back and forth and then trying to incorporate, like, that's part of the show. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know. I just kind of wanted to express that Because that's kind of what you're talking about, Chris, is would that scene have been as enjoyable had the audience, the students or whoever's sitting there watching you direct this person, not known that this person had a hard time with that in the first place?
Listen, I'm not good at a lot of things. I will say I'm a good teacher. And I think part of my success as a teacher and my success in my workshops is that moment, Jamie. It's not just that somebody did a good scene, but the other students watching that moment. I think you're absolutely right. Watching those failures, watching them take the notes or not take the notes. I think that's a big part of it. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I like that.
I want to say another thing too. You know, some people are so good at things that they're not vulnerable. I think about like improvisation, like Wayne Brady. I heard through secondhand, whatever. I do a podcast called Alchemy This with Craig Kakowski, who's a really loved figure in improvisation. Somebody else was telling me that Craig Kakowski did a live Whose Line Is It Anyway tour. And he said in rehearsal, Wayne Brady could come up with, 40 fucking songs on the spot. 40, just full with chorus and everything. You know, I don't know musical terms, but just like full songs. Now, if I had to sing the song in front of an audience, I'd be very vulnerable because I can't think that quickly. I don't like my voice. But for Wayne Brady, it's not vulnerable. But an audience watching that puts themselves in that position, I think, and they feel vulnerable, even though he's Superman. You know what I'm saying? Like improvisation can be a trick sometimes where if I'm not scared to improvise this scene, I have full confidence. I'm not doing any vulnerability. Still though, the mirror, the audience putting themselves in a position going, how would I feel if I had to be on stage and make up a song about milk based on a suggestion? That's scary. Even though it's not scary for some of the performers. I just think that's an interesting, world there. I don't know if that made any sense, but
it does. I think one of the other important mechanisms, I think maybe vulnerability is kind of like a fallback if your scene's not going well, or if you're not in a position where you're trying to accomplish something difficult and succeeding.
Or if you can't be invulnerable.
Or if you can't be invulnerable.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Jamie, how many times?
Because Sam and I have like, we're trying to build something. We try to stand on a stack of chairs and I'm balancing on one leg while he's spinning me around. Like we're trying to accomplish these impossible, ridiculous, dumb feats of physical, and when we can do it, it's impressive. It's like, how did you guys do that kind of thing? And when we don't, it's like, oh shit, vulnerable moment. But there's no vulnerability in succeeding in the difficult task, which is the Wayne Brady moment of singing the 40 songs about milk.
I mean, I would push back a little bit. I would say that all artists are nervous, and maybe Wayne Brady has a little bit more practice, and maybe Wayne Brady feels it a little bit less. But I bet if you would ask Wayne Brady, he might say, every time I have to come up with a new song, like, I get a little scared. Sure, and maybe he likes that true. Kind of feeling.
That's true.
But I actually think that we're missing the other side of vulnerable in some ways, because I think there is vulnerability in success. When you show, like, how much it means to you to have actually done it correctly, I think those can be very endearing moments. And the only other thing I'll say is now I'm thinking of all those vulnerable moments where like it's America's Funniest Home Videos, right? And how much we love to just see people exposed and then they get hurt. And it's like a whole thing of comedy, right? It's we love animals for the same way. They're vulnerable to everything that goes on in the world and they're just idiots because of it. I don't know. This has been an interesting discussion. I don't know if we solved vulnerability necessarily, but it certainly made me think about lot of things.
Yeah, I did. I'm just waiting for you guys.
That's just because Jamie's invulnerable. This is one of my favorite things about him. You can't affect him. You can't be a teacher and tell him what to do. He's not vulnerable. He's not going to do it. You can't. I mean, it's just really kind of amazing. He's just got this armor and it works. He's so cool. Everyone wants to perform with him.
I feel like the audience should know that there have been multiple times where I've given a note and Jamie completely disregards the note and or does the complete opposite or gives me the note. I've never experienced that with any other performer in my entire life.
God, that's so fun. I remember Chris gave me a note, but it's basically me giving the middle finger to anybody telling me what to do.
A director giving you a note is a version of them making themselves vulnerable because now you are given the opportunity to respond.
Yeah.
Jamie in particular. Yeah. There's the vulnerability in me giving most actors notes. When I give Jamie, I'm like, Oh God, here I'm gonna. I feel like I should say this. I'm compelled to say this, and then by the time it lands on Jamie, I don't know where we're going. Sometimes he just goes no, and then keeps going.
But it's not out of pure like obstinacy or I know. You know or
yes, it is
being a contrarian. it's about showing that there's no way to be wrong. You know, it's improvised. There's no right. There's no wrong. So when I get a note, my job is to show, actually, you think that's right. Let me show you that that's, you know, let me show you this. Let me show you that. It's me just pushing back on people thinking that they're right.
But that to me is also part of the performance. And that's
totally,
with our rehearsals is there's no start and stop.
No, it's all tongue in cheek. It starts as soon as I see you walking down the street, you know. But that's just part of the fun. But yeah, it's not taking the rightness and wrongness of anything too seriously.
Well, I mean, you do have that scooter that you scoot around on.
Oh, it broke.
Yeah. Oh.
I know. Speaking of vulnerability.
Now I feel bad making fun of you for it.
I was trying to go off of a curb in Hollywood and it just smashed in half in the middle of the talk about vulnerability. I was humiliated in front of three lanes of traffic. Just watching me try to piece this piece of shit scooter back together. While I'm trying to get to the crosswalk before the left turn goes.
Oh, that's man. So funny.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. To me, I'll just wrap up my having this conversation, having this discussion, a lot of vulnerability is kind of a go-to phrase, I think, for insecure teachers that just parrot what they've heard. To me, there's a lot more shades to it. It's about authenticity. Vulnerability is a part of it, but it's not the end-all be-all. And I actually would say that's probably more about status and power shift in a scene from performer to performance and from actor to character than it is necessarily cry about your childhood.
I agree with you. Jamie, I agree that that's a term that's thrown around a lot by insecure teachers and training centers as a whole. I agree. I still, even after all this discussion, and you two are much smarter than I am, the way I came in is the way I'm leaving, which is there is this extra little feeling that I love from a performance that I feel is, and a performer that I feel is being vulnerable. It's this connection and this feeling that I just love. Love it.
I think that's totally valid. I would never want to take that away from you. But I would, again, just say that it's nice for teachers, directors, those in power in the room to allow other things to be experimented with. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll just wrap up by saying I think it's really important that people learn the Latin roots of English words. I mean, we really can't even begin some of our conversations without starting with the origin of the word. So I think that's something I'll take away for today.
And Sam, where can people find you on social media?
Oh, after that, I don't know they want to, but Twitter at the Sam Miller. You can find me there and launching Sputnik. Watch my dog on Instagram.
How about you, Jamie?
Yeah, I am now on Instagram, which is wild and very scary for me, but at Jamie Parkinen. And I'm also on Facebook. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how long Instagram lasts for me.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Everybody, check us out at The Comedy Fix on Instagram. We have links to our show, obviously. We'll have clips and a lot of fun stuff. That's our resource center right there. Come to The Comedy Fix at Instagram for all your Comedy Fix needs. And there you'll see me linked at Chris Alvarado. Come by if you want to see an engagement photo of me and my fiance.
Cute.
Adorable. Cute.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
I love this goddamn podcast.